I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Leaders of Ontario's Liberal, New Democrats, and Green parties joined the Ryerson University Democracy Forum to answer questions about their campaigns in the lead-up to the provincial election in June. Toronto Star columnist and Ryerson professor Martin Ray Coyne moderated the conversations and provided the leaders with questions from the online audience. A major theme that arose during the conversations were the polling numbers of each leader from various sources. While Premier Doug Ford has an approval rating of about 30%, the Progressive Conservatives are projected to stay in power, but with a reduced minority government. Each leader at the forum was asked about supporting a possible conservative minority and whether there is any openness for future collaboration between opposition leaders. The first speaker was NDP leader Andrea Horvath. Horvath, who has been the leader of her party since 2009, stated that she would not support Doug Ford's bills if a minority government were formed.
Well, you have said very clearly, and this is where I stand on the Doug Ford question, we're just too far apart. Fundamentally, my values, my beliefs, my policy objectives are completely the opposite of Doug Ford. So I don't see any scenario where I would support a Doug Ford government. I think that people, though, have a lot of time between now and the election to make that determination, and you know, polls will jump all over the place. Folks are still, I think, focused on the pandemic. And as we get closer and closer to the election campaign, their focus will change. And so my job is to show them that we don't have to go back to 15 years of disappointments with the Liberals, nor do we have to stay with a government that hasn't made the improvements that people were hoping for. There is a choice there for a government that gets them and that knows that it's time to actually fix the messes and get back to dealing with the basics that people should be able to expect from their government. Not the moon and the stars, but some of the fundamentals around our healthcare system, our education system, and making sure we're battling climate change. There's a lot of pieces that people want to see some action on, and certainly that's going to be my focus.
Okay, and you made a good point earlier that you know, you came out with 40 seats in the last election. That gives you a huge head start over the Liberals. But the polls do show that the NDP and the Liberals are more or less neck and neck. I've looked at them closely. I'm not going to regurgitate them here, but it's fair to say you guys keep trading places, second and third place, with the Tories almost always in front. Sometimes the Liberals number one, sometimes you number one, but basically it's a fight for second place. So if you finish ahead of the Liberals, you're counting on Stephen Del Duca to support you in a minority government. But just to be clear, if Stephen Del Duca comes in ahead of you, hypothetically, as he used to say to me, can he count on you to support a Liberal government?
Well, what I've said to you and to others, and this is where I'm at, I think that any, if Stephen Del Duca is prepared to support the, you know, the things that we want to see happen to fix what's wrong in Ontario, then I would welcome that. And I would be prepared to have that conversation. But I think the voters have a huge decision to make. And just, you know, not too long ago last summer, I was in Brampton. There was the naming of the renaming of a park. It was became Emancipation Park. And I had a number of former Liberal voters approach me and say, you know, we went with you last time. We're sticking with you. I would invite all progressive voters to really look at what the numbers say, which as the NDP is the party with the steam and the team to get her done this time around. And I'm looking forward to that opportunity.
As the leader of the official opposition, Horvath reiterated the NDP's 40 seats and why the party should be viewed as the alternative to the current Conservative government.
What I can say, though, as I mentioned before, is that with 40 MPPs going into this election campaign, I think people can reliably look at the NDP as a party and myself as a leader with experience and knowledge of this province that's unmatched, as a party that can actually form government and take on Doug Ford. That's what this topic is about today that we're discussing. I also think that it's important to acknowledge that you know, it's a ways before the election campaign actually hits. And so the polls will be all over the place, as I already had said. But it's really, I think, an important time for Ontario. I think we really need to look at, do we go back to, you know, to a government that sells off Hydro One, that, you know, has scandals coming out its ears, like the gas plant scandal, that cut hospital funding and left us with the mess that we have? Or do we actually really look at the party that's got the policies, that's got the plans, that's got the experience, that's got the team and the steam, as I said, to really make a difference for our province? People want things to be fixed. They want things to be fixed. They want to get out of this mess that we're in. And I believe that we have the best opportunity to do that for Ontarians. Well, as I said, we certainly have the largest number of seats as the official opposition. I think the Liberals have 7 or 5. And you know, if Stephen Del Duca wants to get behind our 40 MPPs and more, we'll welcome him. But at the end of the day, what we don't want is to go back to, there's a kind of Liberal government that we had that people walked away from last time around. We don't need that again. We want a government, or we need a government. People tell me they want a government that's actually going to listen to what they have to say and fix the problems that they're facing. And coming out of COVID-19, those problems are significant. And we will see what the electorate decides come June 2nd, a couple, 18 weeks away. We will wait for that decision to be made. But certainly, I can tell you straight up that should Doug Ford form a minority government, I will not be able to support that government, because we are just we're on the extremes, if you will, of the political spectrum. And there's just, I just don't have a lot of respect for what he has done here in Ontario. And I can't see myself supporting that kind of government.
Okay, I want to try to connect the dots here, because I promised I would circle back to this question that is clearly on people's minds. So one last question from me about, it's actually twofold. Briefly, I want to just ask, and some of the polls show that you're a popular leader. A lot of polls show that Doug Ford is unpopular, but his party is still number one. It may or may not get a majority. How is it possible, in your view, that Doug Ford's progressive conservatives are almost always leading the polls?
I'm not a pollster, Martin, and I don't know which polls are, the ones that you're specifically referring to. Well, you know, again, I don't know what those questions are. I don't know what the tabs are in terms of the backgrounds of those polls. But what I can say to you is this: I think Ontarians know that this government has not been operating on their interests. If it comes to being a buddy of Doug Ford's, then you got everything you needed. The rest of us are the ones that have to pay for that. Whether it's the cuts to things like our public health system, and then we get hit by a pandemic. Whether it's other big cuts and bad decisions, bad choices that Doug Ford has made. Ontarians realize that we can do better. We need to have a government that's prepared to fix the problems that they're facing, particularly coming out of COVID-19. So I think there's a lot of conversation and a lot of thoughtfulness that's going to go into this campaign. And I think the polls of today are something that are going to be changing, I would imagine, as they always do, between now and the election. People are still pretty seized with what's happening to us in the Omicron wave. And I understand that. I think that as we get closer, though, people will be putting their minds to what comes next here in Ontario.
Liberal leader Stephen Del Duca was the second speaker for the forum. As the new leader of the Liberals, Del Duca was asked about how his leadership is different from the previous Liberal government led by Kathleen Wynne.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I think it's on the minds of a lot of voters, because they realize that through the last couple of years in particular, but frankly, even before the pandemic struck, I think there's an awareness that Doug Ford was taking Ontario off track. And I have a ton of respect for every woman and man who puts their name forward to run for elected office. And of course, I tried hard, really, really hard during this pandemic to work across party lines. That won't stop. But, you know, I am really thrilled to be leading a party that has such an exceptionally strong and talented roster of candidates. We are building a plan that will be compelling and relatable for the people of this province. And above all else, given my own past experience and given the experience of the women and men who've stepped forward to run with me, I know that we can start the job on day one. And I think in life, experience is critically, critically important. We have no time left to waste after this election when it comes to rebuilding and recovering. And I feel very optimistic that people of Ontario will understand we got the plan, we got the team, and working together, we'll actually deliver progress for them.
How do you persuade people not only that you can defeat Doug Ford, but that you're different than the government that was defeated by Doug Ford just 4 years ago and of which you were a part? I mean, that is something that Ms. Horvath is obviously stressing. What's your response to that?
Well, look, I think from the very day that I became leader of my party, Saturday, March 7th, 2020, I have always acknowledged that during my time in the past Liberal government, I think we accomplished a great deal. I don't think we were a perfect government. I also know that the people of Ontario had their chance to render their judgment back in June 2018. And we ended up with Doug Ford, who, again, as I said a second ago, has been taking Ontario consistently off track. I don't live my life in the past, and I don't think most Ontarians want leaders who are always looking in the rearview mirror. They want to know about what's next. They want to know who's got that plan to move the province forward, in particular in that post-COVID world that we all want to get to. When they think about a resilient and exceptional healthcare system or education system or an economy that works for all of us, people want to know who is the leader who's got the plan, who's the team that's got the plan and the energy and the experience to actually deliver. And again, I'm convinced, given the work that we're doing, people will see that in the Ontario Liberal Party.
Okay, well then let's look forward and follow up on the question that I asked Ms. Horvath. So last year, after she went on record as saying that she could not support a Doug Ford government, I asked you the same question. So let's put it out there again for the public. If you have the balance of power, would you support Doug Ford's Tories for another term in government?
Well, let me just say, as I touched upon just a second ago, throughout this pandemic, I have worked so hard to try to build relationships, work across party lines, to emphasize the need for collaboration in a nonpartisan way. You'll know, Martin, that I helped to organize a summit back on August of last year on the vaccine certificate. We convened with a series of leaders in healthcare, education, the municipal sector, and in other sectors to have a conversation. Other parties, the Greens and the NDP, were there. We did the same thing just a few weeks ago in healthcare. Again, the Greens and the NDP were there.
Further, Del Duca was asked about a possible coalition government with the NDP if neither party wins the June election.
I think what people want to see in this province is leaders who are confident enough to be able to work across party lines. Having said that, Doug Ford has demonstrated consistently during COVID, even before COVID, but in particular during COVID, he's not the right person for the job. He's not being the right person for the job during our toughest times. He doesn't have what it takes, not the capacity, the curiosity, the interest, or the skill set to get us through to the recovery and rebuild this province the way that we need to. So given that, though I'm prepared to work with virtually any person in this province to give us real progress, I don't believe that I'll be able to support Doug Ford.
So I assume you're counting on Ms. Horvath to support a Liberal government if you come out ahead. So what if she beats you out fair and square? You've got a long way to catch up to her, 7 versus 40 seats. Would you support an NDP government with Andrew Horvath as premier?
Can I just make one really quick comment about this notion, 7 versus 40, sure, or 7 versus 40 versus 1 versus whatever Doug's at right now? I think people need to understand, you start election campaigns off, frankly, across the board in an equal way. Before the people of this province have had a chance to speak, to actually let us know, all of us, Martin, you know, and me know, and the rest of us know exactly how they're feeling about the future, I think that's a little bit of a disrespectful way to look at how the electorate deals with election campaigns. Having said that, I'm not going to prejudge the outcome. What I'm focused on, keep my head down, working relentlessly hard, building that team, building that plan. I'll be prepared to work with anyone who shares my passion for delivering real progress. I've just pointed out a second ago, I just don't think Doug Ford is the person who's got that capacity, given what we've seen. But as I've done throughout this pandemic, I'd be delighted to work with anyone who wants to deliver the outcomes that Ontarians desperately need right now.
So that sounds like you could and would work with Andrea Horvath's NDP, including if she comes out ahead and if that's what it takes to dislodge a Doug Ford government. What if Doug Ford resigns? Would you support a Tory government, a progressive conservative government, with somebody who replaces Doug Ford if he loses his majority, for example?
Yeah, listen, I think it's so important for us to have that respect of the electorate, to give them their chance to have their say. I think throughout the course of the campaign, we're going to see, I hope, a very healthy clash of ideas about who's got the best plan to take the province forward. I think political campaigns, election campaigns, just like COVID, I think they reveal a lot about the people who are seeking office. So I want the people of this province to have their say, cast their ballots. I've already pointed out that I don't think Doug's the right person for the job. I just can't see him growing into the job beyond what he's already managed to do. And so I want the people to have their say, and we'll go from there.
Green Party leader Mike Schreiner won the first Ontario Greens seat in Guelph in 2018. When asked about collaboration opportunities with other parties, Schreiner said he is willing to do so and explained his experience with working with each party in the Ontario House of Commons.
Yeah, you know what? I think at the end of the day, the people of Ontario are going to decide what Parliament's going to look like, which parties are going to have how many seats, and then negotiations around what kind of government will be formed will take place. And I think under those conditions, politicians will be compelled to honor what Ontarians have voted for. And in a minority situation, we will be forced to work together. And I think that's a good thing. I think we need more collaboration and less hyper-partisanship in politics. And so I think that'll be to the benefit of the province. And I think we will figure out a way to work together. Well, first of all, there's a lot of volatility in polls. And polls are a snapshot of what people thought yesterday, not what they're going to think tomorrow, not what they're going to think on June 2nd. So, you know, there's 127 days until the provincial election. A lot can change in politics in 127 days. And even when the premier is leading in the polls, it only represents about 30% of the voters, depending on which poll you're looking at. So campaigns matter. And I'm really excited to have the opportunity to share our vision about the kind of Ontario that we can help people build, that we can have a green and caring recovery coming out of COVID. And I think that's going to motivate and engage voters to take a look at the Green Party. And we're very confident going into the election. And I would say I'm ready to be premier, and that I can provide the leadership to build the kind of Ontario people want. But I also deeply believe in being honest with people. I think that's one of my signatures as a politician, to always be straight with people. And I recognize that we're likely not going to go from one seat to forming government. But I can tell you, we've shown what one seat, what a huge difference even one Green MPP can make. And that's exactly why I want to see additional Green MPPs. Let's have a handful of Green MPPs exerting the kind of influence to build the kind of Ontario that people want. We've seen that with the Green Party in British Columbia, PEI in New Brunswick, and we can do it right here in Ontario, and we can do it in a way that enables us to address the climate crisis and the housing affordability crisis in a way that cuts climate pollution and makes life more affordable for people and grows our economy.
Okay, here's a question from Ethan Saburin. Would you support the NDP's Green New Democratic Deal as a climate plan?
Well, you know what? It's certainly a step in the right direction, but I think the science is telling us that half measures and partial solutions simply aren't enough. Like, we're running out of time. So I would encourage the NDP and the Liberals and the Conservatives, all the other parties, to step up your ambition. Let's cut climate pollution. Let's crush it. Let's cut it in half by 2030. Let's be net zero by 2045. So we can position Ontario to be the global leader in the fastest growing sectors of the global economy, which is the clean tech sectors. We can do it. We have the people, we have the resources, we have the financial capacity to do it. And that's exactly why we've put forward such an ambitious yet doable plan. And I invite others to join us in implementing that plan.
Schreiner was asked to comment on the performance and turmoil of the federal Greens and how it may affect the Ontario Greens in June. He said that the two parties function separately, and that his party is united with a strong showing of support and funding. Further, Schreiner said that he has been in contact with former federal Greens leader Anna May Paul, who said that she is taking a break from politics for the time being.
There was a lot of turmoil within the Green Party over the past year. How does that turmoil impact the Green Party of Ontario in the next election? And also, have you been in contact with Ms. Paul about potentially running with the Green Party of Ontario in the next election?
Well, first of all, I said I'm a straight shooter. Yeah, there's no doubt. There was a lot of turmoil within the federal party over the last year. But I want to be very clear with people. The Ontario Greens are a separate party with a different organizational culture and governance structure. And while the federal party was going through its turmoil, we set a record, the most fundraising we've ever had in a year in our party's history. We have more volunteers than we ever have. We have the largest staff the party has ever had. We're doing an amazing job of recruiting a diverse group of top-notch candidates. So the provincial party is in a very strong position, and I'm very excited about the vision and the values and the message we can bring to the people of Ontario in the next election. I've made no, I've always been very clear that I felt the federal party should have stood behind Anna May Paul as the democratically elected leader of their party through the federal election, and then have a discussion about the future of the party's leadership after that. And it was fortunate that she was able to lead the party through the election, because I thought she won the leaders' debate. I think most people agree on that. It's unfortunate that she wasn't able to capitalize that successful debate into winning her own seat. But my goodness, we did win a seat in Kitchener Centre with Mike Morris, and Anna May Paul played an important role in helping him get over the top and win that seat.
Would you consider asking her to join the party provincially?
Oh yeah, no, I have been texting. Anna May and I are still in conversation, and she's made it very clear to me that she needs some time to rest, relax, and be away from politics for a while.
Decompress, I would think, sure. Okay, but let's follow up on that. You make some good points, but I can't help noticing that you've been at this for nearly 14 years as party leader, and it took you a decade to finally win your seat in 2018, and you've got a powerful tag team. You have a deputy leader, Diane Sachs, who's a former Environmental Commissioner of Ontario. I know you say you don't love opinion polls, but what last time I looked, which was this morning, you were actually holding on to some of your core vote. You're at 5% plus or minus, a lot more than the federal party is scoring. So you had so much going for you in Ontario a year or so ago, including the positive publicity when Anna May Paul was first elected. And then everything kind of imploded. And I hear that you're a separate organization, more or less, but you're part of the same tribe and you're part of the same brand nationally and globally, the Greens, never mind how the organization works. So the publicity, you're the straight shooter, you'll admit the publicity does not help your party provincially. So how do you overcome that?
Well, we overcome it in the way that we are overcoming it right now. Working really hard at Queen's Park and making a difference in people's lives, leading the fight to oppose Highway 413, which would supercharge sprawl and climate emissions, leading the charge to, you know, prevent Ford from building an Amazon warehouse on provincially significant wetlands, leading the charge on the housing affordability crisis. I mean, Martin, it was your paper who called our plan a masterclass plan in addressing the housing affordability crisis. Putting forward Ontario's first science evidence-based climate action plan that shows how we can crush climate pollution, cutting it in half by 2030, being net zero by 2045, utilizing existing technology. It's about putting forward the real solutions to the real challenges the people of Ontario are facing. It's about bringing fresh new ideas to old problems that the status quo parties have failed to solve. And a handful of Green MPPs can make the difference to build the Ontario that you want and provide the leadership that this province needs. And with your help, we can have that influence at Queen's Park.
The Democracy Forum has been central towards providing both Toronto Centre and Ontario politicians with a platform to speak to students and young prospective voters. Due to the pandemic, The forum has been online since March 2020. Toronto Centre provincial candidates, including incumbent NDP Suze Morrison, are expected to join the forum in the coming months once party platforms are released. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.